From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. There's a growing trend across the country to try to keep nonviolent children and teens out of juvenile detention by wrapping them in services to hopefully steer them away from crime. Since the late 90s, according to the Annie E. Casey Foundation, almost every state has reduced the number of children behind bars by working to change their behaviors. Ada County Juvenile Services just received a $600,000 grant to set up a juvenile assessment center to help these children who are in trouble. Allison Tate is the director of Ada County Juvenile Services, and she's joining us today live to talk more about this. Allison, nice to have you on the program.
Nice to be here, Gemma. Thank you. We're excited about this opportunity.
Well, Allison, for a long time, the idea of, you know, scaring kids straight, right, was the idea behind putting nonviolent kids in detention. So why is that model changing?
Well, I think we've learned a lot, Gemma, over the years, because it just doesn't work to scare kids straight. Mm-hmm. Not only does it not work, it actually leads to really terrible outcomes for many of the kids that are involved. Detention increases recidivism, it doesn't reduce crime, and it pulls kids deeper into the system and doesn't allow them to just naturally age out of kind of normal adolescent or maybe delinquent behavior like they normally would do. It also produces depression, you know, increases mental illness. It really has terrible outcomes for the kids involved and should only be used when necessary to protect the community.
And let's talk about low-risk kiddos. Can you describe those kinds of crimes? And we're talking nonviolent crimes.
Yeah, and in many cases, Gemma, we're talking about a status offense, which is a crime that would not be criminal if it was committed by an adult. So with juveniles, you might have a runaway or a juvenile beyond control. They're not following the rules in their home, and there may be problems in the home, but they're not out there necessarily committing crimes. You know, even lower level crimes like shoplifting or things that, you know, a lot of kids have done over the years. Those are the kids that we don't want in detention with our higher criminality kids. What we know now is that it really increases their risk of recidivism, of being criminal in the future if we detain them.
And talk a little bit more about that, because I think sometimes, you know, as we mentioned, this idea of scaring them straight, I mean, it could have almost the opposite effect. And when you're talking about a child who's a nonviolent offender and you put them in detention, I mean, are you almost potentially creating a criminal if the offense is, you know, is a nonviolent, like you said, a shoplifting or, you know, or a kid not following the rules at home?
Absolutely, Gemma. You know, we do a risk assessment, a standardized risk assessment when a youth comes to the juvenile detention facility here in Ada County. And youth that come out at a 7 or lower are youth that should be, we would like to see released on a promise to appear. So it's like a book and release in the adult system. But what we find is a lot of those very low risk youth end up being admitted and stay with us because law enforcement does what's called an override. And it's not that they intend harm to the kid. It's that there's nowhere else to take them. There aren't resources available to help that youth and that family. And that's why we're really excited about the idea of a resource center here in Ada County, because it would provide an additional alternative for law enforcement to take the kids that are low risk, but need help, need some services.
So let's talk about that. You received this $600,000 grant. Where is it from? And then How will this juvenile services center work?
So the grant is being administered by the Idaho Department of Juvenile Corrections, and you've probably heard about the large amount of funding for behavioral health that the governor and legislature approved this year. So we're getting a piece of that. We're very excited. What we hope to do is we're actually going to use a portable or a temporary building across the street from our juvenile detention center, and that would be a place where schools could refer kids, law enforcement could refer kids and families. Maybe the first time that they are meeting with them, even before they would arrest a youth, they could say, this is a child that might need some additional resources, and they could refer youth to the center. Or if they have a youth in custody that's low risk, they could go to the center. We would provide, well, it's a proven model. There are over 80 of them across the country, and we'd provide services there.
So when you talk about services, what do you mean by that? If let's say a child's brought in, they're, you know, police bring them in, and what kind of services would they potentially be receiving?
So there would be a couple of screenings that we would do. We would do one that would just say, maybe this is a family that is, you know, has some really basic needs. They need medical assistance. They need food. They're just in crisis. Maybe they need parenting resources. Maybe there are drug and alcohol issues that we can help with. So we would screen the youth, then do an additional assessment under certain circumstances, and then provide case management and try to really connect them with community resources, because we know youth are best served in the community, not in the formal justice system.
If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with Ada County Juvenile Services Director Allison Tate, discussing a $600,000 grant to help nonviolent youth stay out of the juvenile justice system, stay out of jail. So, Allison, how do you decide if a youth should stay out of the formal system? I mean, is there some kind of criteria you use? Is it a case-by-case basis?
So in our situation, we would accept any family, child or family that walked into the center, but our target population that we're beginning with is the very low-risk youth that might otherwise come to detention that score very low on our standardized risk assessment that we do on detention admission, or youth that come into contact with law enforcement where they're not necessarily going to take a formal approach to them. They're not going to issue a citation or take them into custody, but they can see that the youth and family need resources. We would take the referrals from law enforcement or from a school for that youth and family.
And I would assume that there would be some type of plan that this youth, or maybe the youth and the family, need to follow. What would happen then if they don't follow the resource program?
Well, what the other centers tell us around the country that have been successful is that these centers work best if they are truly voluntary. So if the family just simply doesn't want services, they could end up coming into contact with law enforcement again, where there would be formal involvement in the criminal justice system. But families don't necessarily, you know, you want what's best for your kids. So we're hoping, and we know that it's true at the other centers around the country, that the families will voluntarily come and accept the services and resources.
So out of the number of youth that you see come through our juvenile justice system in Ada County, can you ballpark maybe a percentage of these youth who you think would be better served with this new program versus that traditional putting them in juvenile detention?
Absolutely, Gemma. One of our target populations is, again, those low-risk youth that come to detention and there's just nowhere else for them to go. We find that about 38% of the low-risk youth that come to detention are detained, and that's about an average of 50 kids a year. When we look more broadly at the kids that are coming into contact with law enforcement, and law enforcement is handling those cases without formal involvement, there's about 400 youth a year. So if we can get in early and prevent those kids from being formally charged and being brought into the formal system, it will have better outcomes for the kids, and it should increase public safety here in Ada County.
And are there youth who should go into juvenile detention?
That's a really good question, Gemma, because we're not saying that we should close down the detention center. We're saying that detention should only be used for those youth that need to be there for a period of time to protect the community from those youth. While we can use our resources to assist them, we're also working on some improvements to our detention center here in Ada County so that it is a more therapeutic environment for the kids that we have in our custody.
Well, and I would think, Allison, that there are many families whose, you know, kiddo does something stupid, right? Like, let's take shoplifting, as you mentioned, as an example. And then, you know, not realizing that because there isn't a center like this, that punishment may very well be juvenile detention. And you and I both know that there are so many kids that aren't criminals, even if they commit a nonviolent criminal act. And I would assume that this shocks families when their child has to go through this system and there isn't something like this new center.
I think that's absolutely right, Gemma. I think that we are often criminalizing what we might view as pretty normal adolescent behavior, maybe delinquent behavior, but also normal adolescent behavior. And if we do bring those kids into the formal justice system, not only are we, you know, reducing, potentially increasing their likelihood to commit a crime again, we're also impeding their later success in the labor market. So we're, you know, think about if all of us were charged with anything we ever did wrong as an adolescent, we may not be where we are today. So it really has some poor outcomes for youth. And I think families will appreciate this alternative.
So what kind of timeline are you talking about with the grant money and this new center?
So interestingly, it's a very tight timeline for this grant. We should have spent years planning this center, and we've spent months planning the center. We have the first meeting of our board of governance on Wednesday. We have the Meridian Police Chief, Bastra Chia, on our board, a number of community leaders on our board, a lot of partners, and we are going to try to get this done within a year. Because we are buying a portable or modular building, that should allow us to open early next calendar year.
Before I let you go, what is one thing you wish the general public knew about our juvenile justice department?
You know, I think we just really need to change those old beliefs that we are bringing kids into the system to help them, and that we, as you said, can scare kids straight, because really what we're doing is increasing the likelihood that kids will commit a crime and decreasing their potential outcomes in life if we bring them into the formal system in many cases. And we need to use those resources wisely too. It's expensive to detain kids. Law enforcement's a scarce resource. So if we can help kids get and families get resources without formally charging them, we'll be doing better for everyone.
Well, this is, I think, such a good thing for our community. So I appreciate the work that you do, and thank you for coming on the program and talking to us.
Thank you, Gemma.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Ada County Juvenile Services Director Allison Tate, talking today about a $600,000 grant that will be used to help nonviolent children and teens stay out of the juvenile detention center.